today's topic is about our spiritual path that we have and what we've learned while we've been here. And my experience is that I'm always going to be in fear. Just like a second ago, I was supposed to be going to call this guy to come up here, and I'm looking around, where did he go? He's gone. I'm already thinking, well, you know what? I've been here a minute. I know enough people in this program. Narcotics Anonymous don't need me, y'all. I need Narcotics Anonymous. So when somebody walks out or whatever, God's always got somebody that he's willing to put right back in that place. Lease, you're fired. Aziz, you're fired. y'all can feel that. At this time, I'm going to ask my brother to come up. We've known each other for a pretty good while. And we're going to hear what Aziz is going to tell us about this journey that he's on.
Aziz, I'm an addict.
Aziz.
Just want to take a minute to get my butt out of the way so maybe God can share a message that somebody can use. Damn, there's a lot of people here.
You got this.
Thank you. I was asked to speak at this thing today. You know, at first, you know, I'm honored to get to, you know, share my message with you guys because, you know, there was a long time that, you know, I didn't have a lot to share or give away. You know, for a long time, I just took, you know, for my families, for my friends and everything like that. Like a good speaker, you know, I looked up some definitions to some words and, you know, that stuff that I learned in here, you know, because when I started looking up a lot of definitions on my step work, you know, I was like, that's not the word I thought or what it means, you know, or anything like that. And, you know, I realized that, you know, I was shaped by how I lived and what I did instead of how things really were. When I looked up spirit, you know, it says relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. And when I looked up the spiritual path, it said the spiritual path is a journey a conscious being makes towards the light. And I read that, you know, it reminded me of really this convention, you know, out of the darkness into the light. And you know, if I look back at how I lived, you know, at first, I grew up in Bangladesh. That's where I was born. I lived until I was 11. And, you know, it was religious. I didn't have a choice or an option. You know, they were like, you're Muslim. This is what you do. And, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware or not, but the language is Bangladesh is Bengali. But all the prayers are in Arabic, you know, and so you have to learn that language to, you know what the prayers mean, you know. And I think I learned both English and Bengali at the same time. And then, you know, we threw that other language in there. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how to speak it. I didn't know what it meant. But, you know, I would just recite. And I remember, you know, going to prayers with my parents. And, you know, you'd bend down and I'd just always keep my eye to the side. Whenever they'd bend down, I'd bend down. You know, it was real awkward because I didn't know what I was doing, you know. And I remember, you know, after I moved here to U.S., started kind of getting wild, you know, after a few years and, you know, experimenting with different drugs. And, you know, I look at it today, I was always searching for something, you know, and to fill me, I guess, you know. And I found it in LSD for a while, you know, and then, you know, other drugs. And that's what I thought it was, you know. And fast forward, you know, a while, get in trouble, you know, get cleaned up. For me, you know, my spiritual path started with a drug court program. You know, I was looking at some time, I think I was 27 years old, and I was looking at 2 8-year prison sentences, you know, and they brought up to me, they were like, you know, we've got a drug court program that's coming through town, you know, if you're interested, you can get in it. If not, you know, that's your other option. I was like, hell, recovery sounds great, you know. And, you know, I'm not a fighter. I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those, I don't know, you know, egotistic, sure. But, you know, I wouldn't have made a good inmate, you know. So I started, you know, I started going to meetings and I had no clue what I was doing, you know. And you know, I look back at it now, that was the first place you guys accepted me for who I was, what I was. You know, when I grew up, I talk different, I look different. So, you know, I fit in with all the kids that got in trouble, you know. If you had a lighter, we were buddies, you know. And that's how I lived, you know. And I became such a chameleon, you know. It's like, you know, I was friends with the preppies, the hippies, you know, all of it, all around the board. So, I don't know, you know, that's where my spiritual path started, you know, through the program. And that was the first time, you know, looking at it as a higher power. I grew up Muslim, and I remember alcohol was illegal, so if you drank, you were going to hell automatically. So I was like, if I'm going to hell, I might as well do some other, you know. So, and you know, my parents always told me drugs are bad, so I was like, you know, got to try that. And, you know, I came in here, y'all told me to get a God of my understanding, you know, and I grew up in the South. This is nothing against religion, and I think, you know, people that practice Christian, you know, they were trying to just do what they're taught, and they were trying to help me. You know, they were like, you know, Jesus will help you. If not, you know, you're going to hell. And I was like, ew, you know, that doesn't sound too fun either. And, you know, but when I came in here, you know, broken, messed up, however I was, you guys told me, you know, keep coming back. You know, when I started reading the steps, you know, it was about, you know, finding a God of my understanding. My sponsor told me to write whatever characteristics I wanted in a God and make that my God. So, you know, and man, where else do you get that? You know, and I had a loving God that no matter how much I messed up, what I did, you know, and it was, God was there for me. And, you know, fast forward several years, you know, I got married, my wife was Christian, we started going to church, and, you know, I got back into church, you know, and then I kind of got back out of it a couple years ago. And, you know, what was really neat was, you know, I had this base that I had built, you know, through the program. So I just jumped back into this, you know, and this has been always my base, you know, and, you know, it's like a way of life for me, you know, because no matter what happens, you know, I've got something to filter everything through, you know. I'm married today to a woman that has never drank, never smoked, and never done anything, you know, and we live a very good life, you know. We fight, we argue, we have our all that stuff, but you know, I'll have to say, without the steps, you know, I couldn't be in this relationship, you know. And when she goes to Al-Anon, I think she's a little bit better, but she says she's the same, but I disagree. But you know, she's not here today, so, but I don't know, you know. And you know, it's like all the things I get to do, you know, it's that base that I've learned all my stuff from, you know. When I was looking at the topic and, you know, it was about the journey, you know, and I was like, man, you know, when I used, I didn't care about any of that, you know. All I cared about was the next one or you know, this or that. It didn't matter, you know, any of that stuff. And, you know, my life is totally different than what it was. And, you know, today I just believe, you know, there's a higher power that's there for me, and you know, no matter what I do, how I do things, you know, God loves me for who I am and what I am. And you know, a lot of that I find through the steps, you know, because I continuously mess up, I say things wrong, I do this, do that, you know, and you know, it goes right back to the same things, you know, about finding my way out of it. And that's what I use, you know, the steps, you know. If I think about it, you know, how I lived and what I was doing in the past, during that time period, I didn't even think about God, you know, unless I was getting pulled over or in trouble, and that was it, you know. And today, I'm not one of those people that I wake up in the morning and pray every morning. I don't do that, you know. I've always taught to read the meditation, and that's how I start off my journey every morning, you know. And it's kind of neat. Me and a friend were talking about this just earlier, you know, and it's like whenever I'm plugged into the program, I'm working my steps, I'm calling people, I'm reading the book and reading the meditations, you know, it's like I'm in sync with whatever's going on. And, you know, I don't know how that is, but, you know, when I'm not doing those things, I'm not. So, you know, that's one thing that I've seen over the years. And you know, it's just from living, you know. When I don't go to a lot of meetings or, you know, I don't do the things that suggest it, I just feel like there's something empty, like a hole in me somewhere, you know. And I find that in here, you know. And what's really neat is, you know, my God works through each and every one of y'all. And Somebody told me one time, you know, that be loving and be caring to everybody, because God's going to use that person you don't like to give you the message that you do need to live. And, you know, I really believe that today, because, you know, I've been egotistic with some people and, you know, just live life, you know. And today, you know, I really believe that, you know. So if I live that way, life's a lot better. You know, and you know, if I treat everybody how I'd want to be treated. Now, do I do that all the time? Of course not. You know, I just try to do the best that I can. And I fall short a lot of days, and I do a lot of wrong, you know, here and there. You know, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of parolees in my job. And, you know, I get to do those things today. You know, I have that opportunity to talk to somebody that's, you know, where I could have ended up, you know, because, you know, from what I hear, you know, the prisons are getting worse and worse and worse, you know, and man, what a fear to have to live like that, you know, have to, you know, not sleep every night, have to, you know, get raped by a broom, you know, and these are just some of the stories, you know, and that's the reality of it, you know, and no matter what, you know, I was using the way to get my butt in there, you know, and I don't know, you know, I have that opportunity today not to. And, you know, with the help of my God and you guys, you know, I can do the step work. I can get on the right path and do what's right, you know. And I didn't have those choices before. You know, it was either I used and that's how I lived. And today, you know, even if I do something wrong, I can fix it. You know, if I did somebody wrong, I can fix it. You know, I did not have any of those choices, or I didn't think I did, you know. And, that God works me through all that stuff today, you know. I'm probably nowhere close to time, but I don't really have a whole lot, but I want to open it up to, you know, get some other perspectives on it too, because, you know, this ain't just about me. This is about, you know, how we all do it. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. The floor is open. Thank you.
There it is. Who's coming? Got an open invite. Don't make me call somebody, because I know some people. I know some people that's really got something to give. Come on. We ain't scared up in here, y'all. We're going to get every addict, because it takes all of us to give this away, not just one of us. Come on up here.
Hey, I'm Kim. I'm an addict.
Thank you.
And you know, my entire life I always believed, but I didn't know what I believed, because like I had so many people, like, you know, and they were all coming from this book, okay? But my relatives over here weren't allowed to cut their hair, and my relatives over here said you had to be dunked in water for your God to love you, and all these different things. And I'm like, so what's really going on? I don't know what to believe. So so I kind of floundered a lot. And when I got into recovery, and Narcotics Anonymous told me that I needed to find, not that I could, that I needed to find the God of my understanding. That was one of the most amazing moments in my life, okay? So I got to look at everything that I had ever been taught, everything I'd ever been told, everything I'd ever experienced, and I got to pull out my God, you know? That was one of my biggest, biggest, first new truths in my life. And like, you know, it was said, you know, I was asked to make a list, you know, what is everything that you have ever needed in your life to feel complete, okay? Not material things. Write down everything you ever needed in your life to be complete, okay? The love, the understanding, the guidance, the forgiveness, all of that stuff. And I wrote all that stuff down, not knowing that when I handed it in, my sponsor said, that's your God. That's all you need to be complete, is what your God is. And So that's my God. And I have a naked God. Like, my God is so freaking naked. My God don't care if I cut my hair, if I have tattoos, or what I eat, or when, where, how, you know, I talk to my God. None of that. My God is so naked. So naked. It's just, you know, my definition of spirituality is to seek, accept, and be a positive influence on the world around you. And that has gotten me so far in life. I don't have to worry about what time it is. Did I miss prayer? I don't have to worry, am I wearing the right thing? This is for me, okay? But that has allowed me to build a relationship with a God who is carrying me through you guys, because, you know, y'all are put here by my God. And my spiritual path, you know, I just walk it. I have no idea where it's going to go. I don't. I just have to stay in a relationship to know that what I'm doing feels right to me and my God. And, you know, sorry, peeps, but, you know, if y'all don't like it, tough shit, he ain't my guy. No, but you know what I'm saying? And in that same, on that same path, my God tells me, you meet people where they're at. Let them have what works for them, you know, because we don't all wear the same size, shape, color of anything else. So why should we have to when it comes to a higher power? So. But anyway, so if anybody is kind of searching, not knowing, that is the most amazing exercise I have ever done in recovery, was to write down what I have always needed in my life to be complete. And that is my God.
My name's Kevin. I'm an addict.
Hey, Kevin.
And I'm from Utah, a long ways away. Anyway, I grew up in that faith, the LDS faith, and I just didn't fit in. You know, I think I've always had a God of my understanding, you know, this higher power thing. But the religion thing just didn't fit into me, you know. And I think that I've always been a kind of a God or a higher power fearing person, but I remember when I was 8 years old, you get baptized, so that you talk about getting dipped. And I thought that was one of the best days of my life, honestly. But I'm an addict. It didn't take me very long to screw that up. So I grew up with this God of my understanding that had a black book. And if I happened to help a elderly lady across the street, I got a good check mark. If I happened to steal a pack of smokes, which I did, or pop bottles, or whatever it was, I get all these black marks. And as my addiction progressed, and I did go to prison, and it wasn't day camp, but it was where I needed to be. And so I had to take a hard look at myself. I'd already been through treatment once in 1993 for a family intervention. They told me I was an addict. I didn't think I was an addict. You know, I could use just great. So I walked away from that program, went back out and got quite a few more felonies. Then I got locked up, couldn't bail out anymore. And I decided I wanted to go back to that program, Narcotics Anonymous, so I went to this treatment center. And, you know, the higher power of my understanding today, I think I have the same understanding of this God figure. However, it's a loving, caring God that always is looking out for me. And I think for me, that's been a big plus that, you know, I've, you know, that you just need to pick a power greater than yourself. It could be this room. All these addicts in this room is higher power than I am, for sure. I've heard the lights. I've heard the mountains. I've heard a lot of different things of where people find their power greater than themselves. And what I really like about the Narcotics Anonymous program, you get to pick the power of your understanding. And it can evolve through time, which mine has, I think. But, you know, I'm grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous that has definitely shown me a life that I always kind of think I deserved but didn't really believe that I deserved. But I've been around my clean dates 10, 19, 1995. Not the first clean date I had. But I've seen numerous people come out of the penitentiary, or women, you know, go through DSFS or whatever it's called and get their families back. And for me, a spiritual journey, I guess, is not going along with that religion. My dad always kind of shunned me, so to speak. And he'd always give me this look, and I knew I was in deep trouble. But as I began my journey in Narcotics Anonymous, they seen a change. I couldn't really see it, but the people around me saw it. And so I was able to take care of my mother for about 4 years. She died of Alzheimer's. That sucked. And then I took care of my dad in his last days. But it was, you know, we didn't grow up in a family saying, the men never tell another guy you love them. That's bullshit. But before my dad passed, he said, I love you. I'm like, really? He says, I can't believe the man you are today.
Well.
And it's because of Narcotics Anonymous.
Yep.
We're not perfect. We're on this trail, in my opinion. We have ups. Some days we're bad. The one thing that I've done every single day since I entered that treatment program in, I think it was October 1995, I think. It might have been 96. I'm old. Has prayed to this higher power. There's been a few times that I went to sleep, and I don't know, I just woke up like 5 minutes later and remembered I need to pray. Today, my, you know, it's not the foxhole praying where, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do that one again. And that was about a lie. But I pray for knowledge, guidance, and the will just to be a better person that day. And that way I don't have to make too many living amends. I still do. I'm far from perfect, but I'm a hell of a lot better than I used to be. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Angela. I'm an addict.
Hey, Angela.
I felt compelled to come up here because I was like, it's the how for me. It's like how it works, you know? And I struggled a lot with when I first got here. So they say you got to find a higher power. You've got to find a God of your own understanding. And then it becomes kind of difficult because as you go on, you're like, okay, well, everybody else found one. So how is it that I'm getting on this spiritual path? What is my spiritual path? So step 11 was one of the steps that I sat on the longest. I'm talking about for a year because I was so compelled to sit in it with the prayer, meditation. And everybody thinks, oh, well, you know, just meditate. And I'm like, no, fuck you. I don't know how to meditate. You know, I get pissed off because I'm like, I can't make my mind shut up long enough because also know, like, I don't know if y'all have racing thoughts, but I'm a fucking addict. I have racing thoughts. So I'll sit still, or I have, you know, like anger issues, and I'll sit still and I'm just like, okay, so meditation is what? Well, meditation is this. You go into a meeting, you do your 90 and 90, right? If you're a newcomer, you go into a meeting, it's the first thing we do. We say the serenity prayer. We put our heads down, we say the serenity prayer. We read a meditation. You're taking time out. It literally, this program teaches you how to go on the spiritual path. So the longer we're in the program, and then they say, well, you should journal. Well, I don't know, I don't really like journaling. Then do the steps. That's journaling. That's literally journaling, like the longest journaling you can possibly do. And then also when we read literature, when we reach out to a newcomer, we're getting outside of ourselves. So a lot of times during my trying to improve my conscious contact with a God of my own understanding, I thought I was doing it all wrong. I was like, well, I don't feel this spiritual awakening. I don't feel like I have close contact. But the more I work the program and the more that I'm in close contact with other addicts, the longer I feel like I'm getting closer to the God of my understanding. So a lot of times it's like I felt like I wasn't doing it right or I felt like I wasn't getting it. But the harder I worked this fucking program, the harder I got it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's like the harder I, you know, say the Serenity Prayer and really mean it. That's a meditation. The longer I get in the morning. And I mean, the best thing I did was just get up in the morning and pray. And I really didn't want to do that before I did anything else, before I did social media or anything else. And now I'm learning to pray at the end of the day and try to do a little bit better. If that's the only thing that I got in a year of trying to get closer, then better than the last 42 years. Because I didn't used to do that at all. So that's improvement. And I think as an addict, a lot of times I want perfection. And it's not. It's progress. So all I got to do is just try a little harder and get a little better, and I'm getting closer. And that's a perfect spiritual path. I only have a few years, a couple 24 hours. So it's not going to happen overnight. I think it takes many, many years to get close. And I don't think that the God of my understanding would want me to be absolutely dead on close within a very short period of time. He would want me to walk with him just as long as I walked in my addiction, which was 27 years. So he's going to expect me to walk a little longer. And up until the day I die. So I expect to keep doing this every day the best I can. And I'm just, you know, just figuring it out as I go. Thank you.
Good evening, good morning, family. I'm Jeff, and I am an addict.
Thank you.
Grateful to be in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous, visiting from Santa Cruz, California. Thank you so much for your share. You know, I identified on so many levels. You know, I grew up in a household, a spiritual, not religious, that the religion I grew up in, the God was 10 plagues. So, you know, I came here and we hear that our God's supposed to be loving and caring and greater than ourselves, and I'm like, I got some changing I need to do. And over the years, my higher power has evolved and revolved. So as a newcomer, I had a friend who used to say, and he used to open up a share with his, I have the God of infinite slack, okay? And my God does have infinite slack. It was also told to me, so I grew up in New York, if you can't tell. In New York, they say, you know, get a higher power. We suggest it be love and care and greater than yourself. Do not make it another human being. Do not make it an object. People let you down. Objects break. And my higher power will never let me down, and my higher power will never break. So, coming in here and being all confused and hating myself and hating the world around me, I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, I feel the presence of God. Amen. So, still to this day, the fellowship could be my higher power. The fellowship has never let me down. You know, an individual member may have let me down, like I said, you know, people could let you down. But for me, again, I keep it simple. Kiss, keep it simple, stupid. And I try to keep it simple. So, my higher power is just a feeling, you know, that feeling of love, of comfort, of protection. And if I do the right thing, it's going to do the right thing behind me. You know, even if I don't do the right thing, you know, again, I'm definitely far from a perfect person. Ask my wife. I make mistakes and I make them often. It's still just not the clean time. God's here. You know, Jeff is here. So I'm just so grateful to be able to have the opportunity. I know how blessed I am to be clean, to be in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, to be in Decatur, Alabama. It's just such a beautiful thing. I would have never expected my life to be what it is when I first got here. So if you knew, I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. And Another friend in New York used to say, I have the secret to staying clean. And the secret to staying clean is to fall in love with Narcotics Anonymous. You know, if you fall in love with something, you hold it closer to your heart, you respect it, you don't do wrong by it. And Narcotics Anonymous is all those things, man. I hold you guys so close to my heart. Without you, I do not have me. So thank you for your share, and thank you for letting me share.
My name is Janai, and I qualify for this program big time. I can't take one more step. I got titanium, and it already gets me up in the morning, and I wake up at 4 every day because I've always woke up at 4. My higher power wakes me up in the morning, and it's the birds singing in the trees. And my higher power's name is Walking Talking. And if I'm walking, then I'm supposed to be walking on that path. And my higher power started talking to me when I was 2. I thought it was when I was 3, because I was in a little pen at the Bohart family place, where my dad's people are from. And I was in a pen full of lambs, because the foxes and wolves had yanked them out from under their mom. So they kept all the baby lambs in a pen, and they kept me in there. And I was visiting with the lambs, and we were talking in the morning, and everybody else was awake, except somebody came and plopped down my chunky sister, and she just squalled. And the lambs and I thought, why doesn't she shut the fuck up? She's bothering us. And Walking Talking said, just get over it and go back to playing. And that's what I do every day, because when I'm walking, I'm supposed to be listening. And now that I have titanium, courtesy of a nice Appaloosa that my friend put his 5-year-old on, it wasn't that horse's fault. I have to watch where I step, because now every day, just for shits and giggles, I walk like a drunk, and I can go sideways. If there's the least little hill, I'll just start fading fast. My clean date is, we picked a date because I started trying to work a program of abstinence a Memorial weekend on a trip with my 5 kids. And it was an embarrassing situation. And I didn't remember anything until about July. So we picked July 14th, 2002. And by the grace of higher power, we have walked this thing all those days. And I haven't looked back, not once, not one time, except last 23 was a real hard year. My dad lost his only living Bohart. Francis went home, and then I had an indicator that it was going to be a good one. And then my little Toto dog died, which made my little 8-pound dog lose his mind again, because he was there with his first partner left. And he was there for that one, and the little dog's brain snapped, and he had the nervous breakdown, started running into walls and crying in his sleep. So I bought him a new dog. But right after that, a week later, my big sister, who was a member of the United Kingdom, because she lived in England, Wiltshire, England, and she left here because everybody, the family has major arthritis. I got spurs coming out of my knees like a horn, like a hook'em horn, man. I do. It's cool. I saw it on x-ray one time. I just keep walking and keep talking to my higher power. And when my sister left, I wanted to go. My mom handed me off to her for her 6th birthday present and said, here, do something with it. It's about to drive me crazy. Make it shut up. Go away with it. Take it away. Go outside, please. She gets on one last nerve. So when I was 9, going on 10, Mom would pick me out of school. I didn't go on a school bus. I got a Greyhound. She sent me back to Kansas every single year because she didn't want to deal with me. I get told all the time, everywhere I go, people can't deal with me. I got told that this morning when I went to the homeless shelter to help hand out breakfast with people
that I meet and people that I know need help. And I have some money. And I might help people, but the guy that runs it, named Brother Coleman, he's a kind of hillbilly from Kentucky. And he came into my truck and he said, "Please do not come in." I said, "I'm not." I was in the parking lot. He said, "There's some people here that don't." And I said, "That's okay. I'm okay. I promise you." He got a lengthy text yesterday from a woman that's sideways crazy. And she called me loco and she called me a lot of names in the text. And there's an investigation against her now because she is in possession of things that belong to me that she shouldn't be. But she has a foundation here, and that's not why I'm here. I'm here to say that everywhere I go, I do what's right. And when I go to places and people get swirly or get weird or get hateful and tell me to, I know that I'm doing right. Because it makes them shake in their shoes, and it makes them want to shit their pants. Because my best friend said to me, "It's your shine." Said, "No, it's not, because I have to be. I love you so much. I love with my whole heart, and I have to, because it breaks my heart. Every day we come in here, there's 15 of us that were supposed to be with us and didn't come in the room. So I humbly say to y'all, love each and every one of you. I do not know you, but I'm here. My dad brought us from Kansas with the space program, and I'm stuck. I'm stuck by this waterway. You cannot drink this water. Do not drink the ice. Do not drink the water while you're in the cave. Please take care of one another, and please keep coming back, y'all. Thank you for listening."
One more, that's it.
I'm an addict named Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Grateful to be here, grateful I'm clean. Definitely want to thank God and you people. And I really love what I've heard Sharon. So, when I hear people speak, especially about spirituality, it just, you know, I have this reflection of not only all the time that I've been in recovery, time I've been in the rooms. You know, I got here at 20 years old, and they had this broad collective collaboration of experience of not only myself but like everyone else. And so, you know, I got here like most of us, injured, wounded, confused, angry, and then, you know, I had the little, you know, I thought God had the little black book also, you know. And so I really, the bottom line is I didn't feel worthy is what I got to, right? And so, you know, my dad's family was, you know, from Colma, a little bit south of here. And it was like Southern Baptist beat on the podium and, you know, tell you what you better do and God's going to get you, and then walk out the door and act completely the opposite. So that's what I, you know, that was a little bit of religion that I was, you know, brought up with. But I had it figured out by the time that I was a little kid that, you know, God was out to get me, and so I might as well just go on getting it, you know. I didn't know that I was out to get me. See, I didn't find that out till later on. I didn't know that I was keeping score. God wasn't keeping score. I found that, you know, later on. But a couple things really hit me this morning. And so I know there's probably a person or two that remembers Mona. You know, Mona was here. You know, she relocated from California here. And Mona came and spoke at one of our conventions in Michigan, I don't know, 25, 27 years ago, something like that. But when Mona passed down here, you know, a few of us got to go to her house. And, you know, she had almost a 40-year collection of recovery literature, right? And so, you know, I got to grab a couple of pieces of literature from her, and I grabbed this, you know, this book, and it was a collective writing of people like us. It just didn't happen to be fellowship approved. But in that book, I found one of the most profound things for me. And the coolest thing about this is you stick around long enough and your spiritual path becomes your spiritual path, you know. But in the sixth step, it said that spirituality, the person defined it as taking care of one's own business. And I went, wow, wow. So what does that mean to me? You know, what that means is, you know, I know finally if you stay clean long enough, that's the deal. You know, if you stay clean long enough, you'll figure out what your business is, you know. And if you plug into the principles that are behind the steps, you know, and that happens through step work, sponsorship, men's groups, women's groups, conventions, meetings, all, you know, it's a collective collaboration. You know, and I love what, you know, what my friend was sharing, that, you know, what I found out after all this time was it was all right here already. See, I was delivered here with everything, you know, and it wasn't about religions and it wasn't about all this other crazy stuff that I stayed sidetracked on so long, including drugs, you know. It was all inside, you know. And so, you know, looking at these banners, there's like all kinds of messages on these banners. The black one that's, you know, sits a little proud of the rest of them, you know. And the theme of this convention, out of the darkness into the light, you know. So, you know, I don't talk so much about who or what my higher power is anymore because it doesn't matter. You know, what matters is how am I living? How am I thinking? How am I acting? Here's the big one. How am I treating others? You know, how am I treating others? You know, I've had some horrific things happen. This last couple of years have been tough. I'll share a short little, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, my son found his mother dead. You know, we met in the rooms in 1986, I think. You know, she had almost 20 years at one time. She stopped going to meetings. You know, and every single person, including me, who stopped going to meetings, comes out with that antagonistic that those people, they bit. You know, separate ourselves from the herd. You know. And but to wrap this up, the conversation that I had with my son 2 days ago, that's God. The things that were coming out of his mouth, the things that he said to me that I had no idea that I was showing him, you know, that's the deal. You know, and it's not words. Words can't even describe it, you know. Again, it's that collective collaboration, the feeling, the understanding. Then you'll see it. But just stick around till you find what it is.
Thanks.
Hi, my name is Molly. I'm an addict.
Hey, Molly.
I'm a newcomer. I'm 34 days sober. I just got out of treatment at the Oxford Treatment Center. I spent one day in my sober living, and then they whisked me here. I'm grateful to be here. I just want to share a little bit of my story as to how I got here, and that was through God. As addicts, we have a lot of racing thoughts, and they were too much for me. At one point, I decided to start putting them down in a journal, and that journal kind of eventually became a prayer book. And I started writing down my prayers, and the cool thing about that is I can look back and see how they're answered. They've always been answered. But in so many of my journals, I can't count up how many times I wrote, please help me get this addiction under control. And the voices of addiction are very loud and blaring and overwhelming, and the voice of God is very soft. And I think that when we listen to the voices of our addiction, you know, something tears at our heart. We know that it's not what's meant for us, and when we listen to the voice of God, he stitches it back together, and we feel a little bit more whole. And the first time that I feel like, you know, in all of those years of me writing and growing in a relationship with God, the first time I really, really listened was when he said, go to treatment. Because he'd been telling me, go to meetings, go to meetings, go to meetings, and I wasn't listening. But I got to the point where I really wanted to surrender my will to his, and I thought I had too much to do with my life to keep throwing it away. And so I did go to treatment. And now I'm here, and I'm very grateful. But one thing that I've seen in God since I've been sober is I used to look for him in the waves, in the clouds, in the sky, in the birds, And now I see him in people. And, you know, that feeling of wholeness, that comes from everyone being here together in God. And that's all I got.
We want to close this meeting. Y'all stand up and let's circle up my good.
Thanks for sharing. I wish you'd share your share. I'm running late. All right. Okay.